What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. I'm Mark.
And I'm Brooke.
And this week, we're coming at you guys with part two of our Scream in September. And if you listen to our first episode, you already know what that means. It means we're talking about Scream 2 from 1997. We're picking up where we left off in the franchise. And we were supposed to have Josh on tonight from HMC to wrap up that segment of the face-off between the two sets of ghost faces. But unfortunately he had a friend pass away. So we kind of scrapped the idea of him coming on this one, give him a few days to just kind of, I don't know, recoup, I guess we could say.
Yeah.
But he will be coming on again before the end of this month.
Yeah.
But before we talk about this movie, I'm super excited. I finally got a new microphone.
Yes, you did.
A nice little upgrade. I'm excited. I hope it sounds good. I was fucking around with some shit before you got on here, so. Mm-hmm. I don't think I sound like I was playing around with the different effects and shit I was telling you. Like I can sound like a demon or an alien or something, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But maybe for a future episode.
Maybe.
Let's do That's like good. A full episode of like an alien voice.
Yeah.
But yeah, before we talk about the movie, what have you been watching this week?
So if, I feel like I didn't watch that much, honestly, I guess, compared to the last recording we did, but I actually did watch quite a few movies, surprisingly. So what's new?
Not surprised.
Yeah. All right. Let's maximize that. All right. So nothing like new, like Saving Private Ryan, Meet the Parents. I watched the new Pinocchio movie.
You loved it.
As you can see from the ones there, it was atrocious. It was so bad.
What was bad about it? Because I haven't watched it yet, but like I want to.
The voices.
Okay.
The voice acting, I couldn't stand. I thought that the voice that they chose to do for Jiminy Cricket, I didn't like. I thought it was awful. And then I looked up to see who did the voice for him, and I was like, wow, I kind of feel bad now because I love this actor, but I didn't like it. It's Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks was pretty good. I mean, you know, he looks like Geppetto.
Mm-hmm.
I did like Keegan-Michael Key did the voice of Honest Tom. I think Honest Tom is the guy's name, the fox that like captures him. Yeah. He did a good job, but like the rest of it, like they changed like some things in it, like Monstro the whale, whatever, is like not even a whale. It's like this fucking tentacle whale monster. Like, it's,
oh really?
Yeah. So yeah, I didn't really like it that much. That was crap. rewatched The Breakfast Club. Forgot how fucking good that movie is. Like,
so good.
Man, Judd Nelson in that movie is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how he didn't like become a bigger movie star, honestly. Rewatched Psycho. Nice. And Psycho, like, amazing, man. I every watch I've seen this movie, like, I just like it more and more. That's pretty much it then. Return of the Jedi, but nothing too exciting.
No, that's the same as me this week. I didn't watch a whole lot. Just had a pretty low-key week. Football started, so I mean, that took up our Thursday night, took up our Sunday, took up our Monday night. And then we had the Spencerville Fair on the weekend, so we took the kids to that.
Yeah, you guys went. Yeah,
wasn't a whole lot of time for that stuff.
Yeah,
but I watched Elvis. I can't remember. I think I'd started it when we recorded our last episode.
Yeah, I think you talked about it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, I watched that. I watched Angst, which was a movie that two chicks did with the Fright Crew. I'd never seen it before. They all gave it like decent scores, so I want to check it out.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It was okay. I talked to Jensen.
I've heard of it before, but
I talked to Jensen about it a little bit because he wanted to know my thoughts on it too. And I don't know, man. The guy who was in it, like the serial killer, he was good. He was like creepy as fuck. But like, I don't know. I don't want to give too much away, but like he's attacking his family and like nobody's doing anything. Like there's no fight to it. They're just kind of like accepting the fact that they're going to die. And I was just like,
okay.
Like, I don't know. Like if it was me and someone was trying to kill my family and myself, I'd be putting up a little bit of a fight, I would assume.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know. I watched they/them, however you want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay. It was
just okay.
Yeah. I have no desire to watch it again. Mm-hmm. Kevin Bacon was good.
Yeah.
The other characters were not so good. I mean, I get what they were trying to do. It's a social statement, but I just felt like they were trying way too hard with it.
Yeah.
Without coming off sounding like a complete prick, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I watched the original Godzilla.
Nice.
Because it's part of the IMDb or the top 250 horror movies on Letterboxd.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I checked it out. I mean, it's good. It's good for what it is. It's from 1954 okay. And it's a monster movie. And
yeah,
I mean, they did a good job with what they had.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a fun watch.
Nice.
And I started watching that 101 scariest horror movie moments or something like that. That's on Shudder.
Oh, okay.
It just got added like last week, I think.
Hmm.
I watched episode one of that and it showcased like the first, like, I can't remember how many movies were in the first episode, but it was good. Like I want to kind of take notes on it because there's a lot of movies that I haven't seen that they did even just in that first episode.
Like even ones you haven't heard of?
I've heard of them all, yeah. Just haven't watched them.
Okay.
What's the one? It's the Dracula movie that Christopher Lee stars in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Blood of Dracula or something like that. Mm-hmm. I've never watched that, but it was on that list and I was like, God damn, like it's one that I need to watch because it's a classic.
Yeah, the one movie I really like want to watch because I've heard it has like one of the most scariest scenes in a movie is The Exorcist Part 3.
Oh yeah.
Apparently it has a really scary scene in that.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen the second one or that one, so I want to watch the second one before it, but yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I need to give The Exorcist another watch.
Yeah, you do.
Because I shit on that movie all the time. And like, yeah. I've seen it multiple times. Like, I'm not saying I've only seen it once, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I need to give it another chance and see how my thoughts are on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it.
Nice. Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. No 25 minute.
Yeah.
No 25 minute introduction.
Yeah.
Shit. All right. So I guess we'll dive into the movie. Like we said in the intro, this week we're coming at you guys with Scream 2 from 1997. This is part 2 of our Scream in September, where we are going to be discussing the entire Scream franchise throughout the month of September.
Mm-hmm.
Before we start talking about the movie, though, what are you drinking?
I think it's a new selection. Obviously, it's getting into the spooky season, so... Yep. The local LCBO has released all of the pumpkin beers, and you know, I picked up the usual ones that we like, and I saw this one and it sounds interesting. It is a Whitewater Brewing Company pumpkin spice espresso porter.
Oh, sure, you want to drink that at 9 o'clock at night?
Yeah, whatever.
Be bounce.
You only live once.
That's true.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah.
Worth a pickup.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Nice. I am just diving into my land shark again. I need to go to the liquor store and get some of our seasonal beer, but for now, this will do.
Kind of tastes like pumpkin spice cold brew, honestly.
Okay, nice. I guess that makes sense considering the name of it. Pumpkin spice espresso stout. All right, let's talk about this movie. Starting off with the synopsis. 2 years after the first series of murders, as Sydney acclimates to college life, someone donning the ghost-faced costume begins a new string of killings. To the point.
Yeah.
Doesn't give too much away.
They actually answered a question I had in that, so.
Okay. What?
Was this like a year later? But never mind.
Do they say in the movie how long after it is?
I don't know. I mean, Josh would know, but.
Josh would know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Obviously, this movie was directed by Wes Craven. We just talked about him last week, so I'm not going to go through it again, but you guys know who he is. The cast, we do have our continuation of Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, and what's his name?
Jamie Kennedy.
But then we have a whole bunch of new actors in this one. So starting off, I have Timothy Oliphant, who plays Mickey. He is in Santa Clarita Diet, Hitman, Justified, Snowden, The Crazies, A Perfect Getaway, and The Girl Next Door. I think The Girl Next Door was the first movie of his that I watched.
Okay.
Because he was pretty young in that one. That was a while back.
Yeah.
Yeah. We like him, though.
Yeah. Yeah. He's awesome. Yeah.
Next up, I have Jerry O'Connell. He played Derek. He was in Stand By Me, Kangaroo Jack, Mission to Mars, Star Trek Lower Decks, and he does a whole bunch of Superman voices in a lot of animated movies and TV shows. And he was in a movie that we just talked about a few months ago, Piranha 3D.
Yeah.
Next up, I have Sarah Michelle Gellar, who played Cece. She was in I Know What You Did Last Summer, The Grudge, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and a whole slew of other things, but...
Yeah.
And lastly, I have Laurie Metcalf, who played Debbie Salt. She is most notable for her role in Roseanne and The Conners, which is a spinoff sitcom. She's also in Lady Bird, the Toy Story franchise, and The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
I have so many honorable mentions.
Yeah.
They took every actor that they could from the late 90s and threw it into this movie. Them into this movie.
Yeah. I think you should save the stab actors for the discussion.
Okay, that's fine. All right. So I have Omar Epps and Jada Pinkett Smith, who were in the beginning of the movie. Kevin Williamson actually does a cameo. In this one, Rebecca Gayheart and Portia de Rossi are in this. They're so fucking annoying in this movie. I want to drove me crazy. Matthew Lillard makes an appearance at a party that if you're really not watching for him, you're not going to see him.
I didn't notice him.
Yeah. I would have never known, but I've seen people like point him out in the crowd on like Instagram and stuff like that. And then I have Selma Blair, who lent her voice to the movie. She was the friend that Cece was talking to on the phone whenever she got attacked.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other ones are all the stab cast.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, there's so many 90s actors in this movie, man. It's not even funny.
Yeah. I did have a couple as well. He was technically in the first one, but I don't think we mentioned him. But Liev Schreiber plays Cod Weary. Yep. And then the other one is Joshua Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who I don't know if Dawson's Creek started filming during this or after, but
that's a good question.
Definitely came along with Kevin Williamson on that.
Dawson's Creek.
And
Dawson's Creek released in 1998.
Okay.
So it's a year after this one.
Okay. So yeah, I think that's all I had apart from the, yeah.
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 Yeah. Wes Craven does a little cameo on this one as well too.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Yeah. He played one of the doctors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, lots of people in this movie.
Yeah.
Lots of names to remember.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So like going off our discussion from the first movie, we kind of like talked about how there's a lot of actors that like that movie kind of propelled their acting career. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone in this movie? Do you feel this movie is kind of the same cat like way, or do you think it's slightly different?
I mean, Omar Epps and I think Jada Pinkett Smith, I think they both had been in stuff before. Mm-hmm. Tori Spelling was obviously popular. Maybe two of the other people from the Stab movie. Rebecca Gayhart, she was kind of starting to get big in like the 90s too. I don't know. Maybe Timothy Oliphant. I don't know what else he would have been in.
Yeah. Timothy Oliphant was like the only one from this cast who like I think is like a star.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh. Like in my opinion, even more so than our main crew.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Jerry O'Connell's huge too. Like Jerry O'Connell has like 131 acting credits.
Yeah, but I mean like
a lot of it's like random not shit.
Great stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause yeah, like Timothy Oliphant like came back for Santa Clara Diet. And like that was a good show. I think he made an appearance in Mandalorian season 3, yeah. Or it was Boba Fett, I think. Book of Boba Fett.
It was Mandalorian, yeah.
Was it? Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then he was in Justified, which was a huge show.
Yeah,
Snowden was big.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he made a little appearance in that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think he is the biggest name on the list probably now, next to like obviously Courtney Cox, and I don't know. We already had that discussion last week, but
yeah,
yeah. I mean, he's a big name actor for sure.
Yeah.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar, she was already popular from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So, I mean, this movie picks up 2 years later, which I kind of had a question about because I didn't. Because like, they all look like relatively the same, except for Randy. Like he looks older to me.
Yeah,
like maybe it's just like the facial hair he has, like the goatee, and he seems like a lot more mature than he was in the first one.
Yeah, and he seems to have filled out a little bit. Like he's not as like super skinny in the face and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think he's like my favorite in this movie.
He was good.
Like just his like story and like the way they wrote him into it, like he is taking the film class and like it doesn't make sense for his character. And then like the one scene where he's talking to Dewey and like they're like trying to figure out who the killer is, and he's like, well, it could be the boyfriend, you know, that happened in the first movie.
Yeah.
And he's like, it could be me, I'm a suspect. And Dewey's like, well, I shouldn't be here with you. And he's like, well, you're a suspect too. You were a part of the first movie.
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah, I did. I feel like he, like you said, he was a lot more mature. He was a lot more serious about like trying to figure out who it was that was doing this. Mm-hmm. And he kind of became like a little bit of a badass too, like later on in the movie, because he's like, he's giving it right back to Ghostface on the phone and stuff like that. Like he's not fucking around.
Yeah, no, he wasn't at all. And yeah, I think he should have kept going in the franchise, I think, mm-hmm. honestly. Like, I would have rather him over Dewey. Like, I know that's like a hot take, ooh. And Josh isn't here to defend, but like, I don't know, man. Like, just him and Gale's like relationship, like, especially in this movie, like,
it's distracting.
It's distracting. It doesn't make any sense. Like, he like hates her like with a passion, and then like the next minute, like later in the movie, they're fucking making out and about to have sex. I'm like, what is happening? You were like wishing she died and shit like that. And then
do you think he actually hates her though, or do you think it's just more like heartbroken?
I mean, might be a bit of heartbreak, but like he's defending like Sydney in this movie a lot, like from her, like he's on Sydney's side and all mm-hmm. of this, and like hates that she like has all this fame. Maybe it's jealousy, maybe, but
yeah,
like of what she did pretty much to Sydney, like created, like wrote the book and created the Stab movies, and is just like making profit off of all these tragedies that happened in 2 years ago.
Well, yeah, and it's just a continuation of Gail's character too, though, because even in the first movie, right, mm-hmm. like she's the one who covered the story of Maureen's death.
Yeah.
So it's just a continuation, and like you can see the relationship that her and Sydney have in this movie too has kind of carried over from the first movie. Like they, mm-hmm. Sydney can't stand her either.
That she punches her within like the first like 5 minutes
again.
Yeah, and she like really does like. Even Cotton Weary is like kind of pissed at her because Cotton gets released from jail, obviously, because mm-hmm. Billy framed him. Everyone finds out. And then like Cotton shows up and Sydney is like, what the fuck, and punches her. And then Cotton's like, what the fuck was that about? Like, you didn't tell her that you promised that I would get a 10-minute interview with her.
Yeah.
Like,
what do you think about the opening scene of this movie? Like the movie theater scene.
I love it.
Okay.
But like talking about it, like critically, like watching it critically, it was like, okay, this like doesn't really make any sense, but I liked it a lot. Like,
okay.
It would have been sick to be like at that premiere, like not when she dies, obviously, but like it just looks like a fun ass time, right? There are like studios handing out masks to people and like fake knives. Everyone's going fucking crazy and stuff like that. But it didn't make any sense, honestly. Like connecting, like with the first movie, you knew like the connection between the killers and Drew Barrymore's character, but in this, like the theater is technically on campus, but like I don't know, they just, how, like why did he pick them and how did he know that like they were together and like how did he plan all this? Was it just like off the cuff?
Well, we find out later on.
Do we?
Mm-hmm.
What do they say?
Well, her name was... Well,
her name is Maureen.
Yeah, and his name's Phil Stevens, so that's Steve. And then Cece's real name is Casey. So Casey Becker, Steve, and Maureen.
I don't know, man. That's a...
They say it later on in the movie, like whenever they're trying to figure it all out.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. I didn't even catch that, but like... I don't know. That I don't want to like give away like part of the or, like motive part of it.
Yeah.
But that's just silly.
Well, they're like, I don't know, they're copycat killers, right?
I guess.
So they're picking people with the same names. I have the exact opposite thought of that opening scene as you. I think being in that theater would be fucking awful. Dude. That would drive me so crazy having to deal with all those fucking idiots like running around and throwing popcorn and like jumping over the seats. Mm. Like it's just like, I'm watching this chaos and I'm like, I'm watching gremlins.
Yeah.
Like real people acting like the fucking gremlins in the movie theater. It's just like I go to the movie theater to watch a movie. Like, I don't want people talking behind me, let alone fucking running around and throwing shit around. And I would hate that experience so much. Maybe if I was in college, it'd be a different story. But I mean, I'm 33 years old now. I'm a grumpy old man.
Yeah.
So watching it now, I was just like, ah, God damn it. I would hate that so much.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, other than that, like, what did you think of the scene?
I thought it was cool. Like, I thought Phil's death was cool. Like, and like, I can just, it's just brings you back to Scary Movie too.
Yeah.
Right. That whole movie theater scene, like, and he gets the dick shoved through his ear. And then what's her face in Scary Movie 2? She gets stabbed and she's like up on the like platform in front of the screen. And then everyone else comes and starts stabbing her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a cool scene in that regard with like the deaths and stuff like that.
This movie, like your first watch, you wouldn't obviously know until the end, but there is a lot of little nuances and like clues that it gives as to who the killer is. Like, there's a lot of references to mommy in the movie from like random ass people. Like, if you have the subtitles on watching this movie, the person in the next stall is like kind of like a high pitched voice, and they keep saying, like, I forget what they say, but like they say mommy a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And then whenever Randy and Gail and Dewey are looking for the killer, one guy on the cell phone, he's like talking to his mom and he says like, oh, mom, it's just some people, something. So there's a lot of like mother innuendos in this movie that
it's true.
Kind of like hint towards who it could be, even though you don't know that. What's the reporter's name?
Gail.
No, not Gail. I know who Gail is. Where the hell is it?
Her name is Debbie Salt.
Yeah, Debbie Salt, yes. Which obviously you wouldn't know that she's Billy's mom.
Well, geez, just spoil it for everybody before we even get to the scene.
Well, whatever. This is a discussion, okay? You can fuck off.
This movie's 25 years old now.
Yeah, yeah.
You brought up a good point a little while back. I can't remember. Was it in our group chat asking if they were going to re-release this in movie theaters for the 25th anniversary?
It'd be cool.
It would be. I'd go watch it.
Yeah, me too. But anyway, I don't know if I fully like that whole killing the names of people from the first one.
Okay.
I don't know. Because it's like, without talking too much about like the motive and stuff, like where was the mom like the whole time? Because like she ran away from Billy whenever she thought that the husband was cheating on her with Maureen. So like, why does she all of a sudden care that Billy's dead whenever she fucking left?
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
I don't know.
I feel like, yeah, because we don't know, like, was she gone for like the whole year after Maureen's death? Or like, did she just take off?
Yeah.
Did she fully take off, or did she just like divorce the father?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because like the whole reason Billy did all that was because his mom left, right? And she thought that. So obviously if like she just like kind of like left like for like a few days or something, he wouldn't fucking go on a killing spree. Like she would have had to like up and leave, like probably move like the state or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think of the first stab sequence we see?
Heather Graham.
Dude, she looks just like Drew Barrymore in this.
She did. That's awesome. She did. Yeah, they did a good job casting that. It would have been hilarious if they cast Drew Barrymore to play her.
I think it would have been a little much.
It would have been a little much, but like they would have upped the meta so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
I enjoyed it though. I mean, they did a good enough job, with, what's the word that I'm looking for? I don't know. Like, you know, whenever on those like cop detective shows, they do the,
retelling.
Yeah, sure. We'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean though. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought they did a good job with it.
Yeah.
That scene of stab that we see is the best scene that we see throughout the entire movie of stab.
Yeah. Well, the other one's just like,
the other one hilarious. Was so fucking bad, man. Oh my God.
It was so bad, but I was dying laughing. Oh my God.
Fuck.
I really like Jada Pinkett Smith in this scene. I thought she stole the scene.
Yeah, she was good.
Like, she's sitting in the theater and she's just like, why does she have to get naked? Like, what's that to do with the plot of the movie? She's just like, why don't you star 69 his ass? And it just reminded me of a fucking Scary Movie. Like, she's fucking going nuts.
She makes valid points, right?
Yeah, she does. I thought I heard Stu in this scene. It might have just been me, but like whenever she goes out to get popcorn and then she's like coming back and like the two like ghost face guys are like, oh, I'm gonna stab you, that sounded like Matthew Lillard.
Do you think we would get in trouble if I played that clip right now? Like, do you think YouTube would get us in trouble
if it's less than 10 seconds?
It'd be tough to find, actually.
Yeah,
that, would. That specific scene. Okay, we'll pass on that. But I'm interested. I want to check that out.
Yeah, I mean, I might just be like thinking it, but yeah. So who do you think? This is like kind of the tough thing that I had with this movie. Because like the first movie, you know, it's like, obviously girls can be killers. Like, I'm not saying they can't be, but like.
That's sexist, Brooke.
I know. But like in the first movie, it's like, you know, the two guys, like, they're both crazy and it's like, okay, who's doing which killing? But in this movie, I didn't really get a feel that any of them could have been Debbie, except for the one that she did admit to, which was Randy's death.
I think a lot of the killing in this one is Mickey.
Yeah, because he's like, I mean, I'm not going to get into it, but fucking dumb. He's like a hired rookie serial killer that she found on the internet.
Yeah. Not a fan of that part of the movie.
No, no.
But like the opening scene, that's him. Cause you can hear him grunting whenever he's killing Phil. And it's clearly a man like grunting.
Okay. I thought that at first too. Actually, no, I didn't. I don't know. I think that one could have been actually no, because like the body, like when he goes to sit back with Jada Pinkett, like it's like clearly like a man's body. He looks just like Omar Epps, right? The body.
Yeah.
But like the voice in the stall, that's not a voice that Timothy Oliphant could do.
That's fair. But
unless Debbie was in
the other stall.
And in the stall that did the kill, and then Timothy is the one that killed Maureen.
No, because like if you replay that scene, like you can hear Ghostface like grunting, like whenever they're fighting each other. And like it's very much a man's.
No, like whenever he's fighting Maureen.
No, like even in the stall, because he stabs Phil in the face. Through the stall wall.
Yeah.
And they have a bit of a fight, don't they?
No.
Maybe it is then. Maybe it is whenever he's fighting.
He stabs him in the fucking side of the head.
Yeah.
And he's going to die instantly, right?
But there was grunting. There was grunting in that opening scene. I know that there was. Maybe it was whenever he was going after Jada.
But there was other people in the bathroom with them.
Yeah. No, I'm like 99% sure that it was Timothy Oliphant in that opening scene.
Okay. I think that it was Debbie that killed him in the stall. And then I think that Mickey is the one that kills Maureen.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You don't think it's the same one?
No.
Hmm.
This is my thoughts. We'll have to ask Josh after this recording.
But yeah, I do think that Mickey kills pretty much everyone in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like Debbie is like doing like in this movie, she's like an undercover like news reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think she does a really good job of being that undercover like news reporter and kind of like getting info from Gale about everything. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. She just like annoys her to the point where Gale just tells her shit.
Yeah. I think she's mostly on the phone with people.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mickey is just killing people. And she's doing like the talking.
I could see that.
Because she knows the history of all of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Mickey probably is just like getting filled in, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the same as it was in the first movie too, right? Like, I mean, they switched roles a little bit, but 9 times out of 10, it was Billy doing the killing.
Yeah.
And then Stu was the one on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else? Oh, do you think that I feel like someone would notice that she just got stabbed?
Well, I mean, yeah, you would think. But at the same time, like, there's so much chaos going on in that fucking movie theater, and like people are faking stabbing each other and all this shit.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's got a ghost face mask on, so like nobody can really believe like what's actually going on.
Yeah. Because, like, after she gets up and then, like, he stabs her again, there's, like, a girl in the theater, like, let's have her run. There's, like, blood all over. And she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then, like, the one guy in the crowd, like, when she's up there and she is, like, dying, everyone, like, takes her mask off and is, like, shocked. There's, like, one guy that's, like, giving thumbs up.
She's such a good actor.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
You got to think too, like all these kids are probably fucking stoned and drunk out of their minds at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really like the film theory class that they have. I wish we got more of that, but I did like whatever they're trying to name like sequels that are better than the first. And like, I don't know if they were like kind of not hinting, like obviously this one isn't, not better than the first, but like
depends on who you ask.
Maybe, well, yeah, but like maybe they're just trying to say like, oh, this one can be better than the first or whatever, you know?
Oh yeah, I definitely think that that's what they're trying to go for, is just playing into the meta factor that this is a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy this scene too, and that was a question that I had for you. Obviously, we like you and I think Terminator 2 is a superior movie than Terminator.
Yeah.
Do you agree with the aliens comment?
Yeah. Yes, I think so.
Yeah. And do you have any other sequels that you prefer over the original?
Yes. I actually started watching it tonight. I have about an hour left. And that is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one, actually.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a hot take, but I think the Indiana Jones trilogy is better than the Star Wars original trilogy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
They're both very good. Very good.
Yeah. I used to watch Temple of Doom, honestly, like so much as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I fucking love it.
So do you think nostalgia plays into it then?
Well, I did rewatch the first one on my trip on the plane. Mm-hmm. And like, I think it's good, but I don't know, I love Temple of Doom. Maybe bias does play a little bit, but I like the story of Temple of Doom better than the first one.
Mm.
Yeah. What about you? Do you have
I mean, they mentioned it in the movie too, like Return of the Jedi. I think it's better.
Yeah. Godfather 2, they mentioned.
Yeah, they mentioned that as well. I like Sarah Michelle Gellar's comment. She's like, always, you got a hard on for Cameron, don't you?
Because
they kept bringing up like T2 and then Aliens because he did both of them.
Yeah.
As for like, I don't know. I think off the top of my head, I can only think of the ones that they've already named.
Yeah.
Temple of Doom is a good pick, though.
Yeah.
It's a very good movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might have to come back to you on that.
All right. I did like how this movie had like all of the, well, not all of the, but like a few of the actresses from like the other like copycats of Scream.
Yeah. Like Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah. And the girl from the Jared Leto slasher. We did an episode on it with Josh.
Jared Leto slasher.
It came out in like 98.
Urban Legend.
Yeah, Urban Legend.
Yeah, Rebecca Gayheart. She was in that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think of Derek?
I don't know. He's all right. No, how do I word it? He is a polar opposite of Billy. And I think that's why Sydney wanted to date him. Like he doesn't have that bad boy persona that Billy had. And like, he's a very different kind of guy. He's got his head on straight and he's gone to school and he comes from a good family, it seems like, and like no drama, no bullshit, just kind of like a super nice guy. And he's good to her. Like that whole scene in the fucking cafeteria, man.
Oh, it's my God.
So out of place in the movie, but at the same time, it's such a fucking fun scene.
Yeah, it...
Like, it's stupid. I know it's stupid, but...
I don't know. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Like, I think it fits in because, like, they even, like, make, like... Because Mickey kind of suggests it. He's like, oh, it's a scene from whatever, Top Gun 1986.
Yeah.
So he's like making reference to like the film theory class, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to win her back because she had just dumped him because she doesn't think that he should be near her because all this stuff is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And like nowhere in the movie did I really think it was him at all.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Like they try and play it off that it could be him at the end. But
yeah, a little bit.
It's almost like the whole Randy thing in Scream, right? Like they try and play it off that Randy's the killer, but like I don't think anybody's ever actually believed that it could have been him.
No. Yeah. Because he's like really good to her. Like I know Billy, I guess, was too, kind of, but like
in a sense, but like at the same time, he still had his moments where it was like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Like I could feel like Derek really did care for Sydney.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time too, like that would just be a fucking cop out if they use the same storyline in the sequel to have the boyfriend being the killer again.
Yeah.
Like that, I would be fucking pissed actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is the first scene before or when Ghostface comes? Is it when he's chasing Sydney around the house? Or Cece die before?
No, I think he shows up.
Oh no, because that's after that's at the party, right? That Cece is doing the whatever sorority girl stay home or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Derek could like take Ghostface. Like, I know he gets like cut up a bit. I think he gets stabbed or something like that.
Slash
arm or something. Yeah. But
and like that's what another part where they're trying to pin it on him, or like people are suspicious of him because he's like a med student and they're like, oh, it's pretty convenient that they cut you this deep and they didn't hit any main arteries in your arm or anything like that.
Yeah, that's what Randy says to Dewey. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Randy's still trying to get Sydney.
Yep.
He poor is, bastard.
Yeah. What did you think of the Cece scene?
It was pretty fucking, it was gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
She gets stabbed in the back and then they throw her at the fucking window. And like that blood splatter when she hits the ground, man, like her brains are like 10 feet away from her body.
Yeah.
Like it was pretty gruesome.
Yeah, that's definitely 100% Mickey.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But in this one, they did really not hide the fact that there's two killers.
So,
like in this scene, whenever Cece's downstairs and the door is like open, I think it's after her friend leaves. The like phone rings and she picks it up and then Ghostface talks. And at the same time, he runs into the front door and hides.
That's true.
So it's like, okay, it's not that person talking, because unless he has like some fucking contraption inside the mask where he's talking on the cell phone. But
I really like that scene too, because she's like, say it to my face, asshole, or something like mm-hmm. that. And he's like, okay. Yeah. And he's right behind her.
Yeah.
And I thought that was good.
Yeah. Yeah. This was definitely Mickey, because like that, like you said, the kill is so brutal, like catches her up on like the kind of like porch on the top floor, just like stabs the shit out of her back and then just fucking picks her up and hawks her over the thing. That like the railing is like a good, I don't know, three and a half feet.
Yeah.
And Debbie's small, so she definitely couldn't pick her up like that, just hawk her right over, mm-hmm. like no problem.
Yeah, not that easily.
Yeah. Gail has a new cameraman named Joel.
I like him.
Yeah, he's kind of useless, but I do like at the end he's just like, all right, fuck this, my van has scraps, it's got blood in it. it's impounded as evidence. He's like, fuck you, I'm leaving.
I just like, because he himself plays into the whole horror trope too, right? Like, what's mm-hmm. he say, like, all the brothers don't last long in these movies or something like that, or in these situations or something like that.
Yeah, and I love the line too, before, whenever, like, after the death, and then the captain is, like, giving his, like, speech, and then, like, Gail's down there and is, like, asking the questions, like, and mm-hmm. he, like, turns the camera towards her because she just wants all the attention.
Yeah.
And, like, Sid and them show up, and I think Randy says, like, I don't know if it was him, but he's like, oh, it looks like Gail got calf implants.
She looks good in this movie, though. I think Courtney Cox looks good in this one.
Yeah. I was kind of sad that they didn't finish off their Friends reference throughout the movie.
What was that? Oh, the Jennifer Aniston.
And they said David Schwimmer as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because Randy is meeting with Dewey, and then they're talking about like the Stab movie and... Mm-hmm. Who's mad? Who plays David Schwimmer? Was it he played Dewey? I think.
Yeah, he said, "Oh, at least you got David Schwimmer."
Yeah, yeah. And then the Jennifer Aniston line was
about how
Courtney Cox about a sex tape.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, "Oh, tits. Yeah, that was Jennifer Aniston's body." And yeah. I was like, "Oh my god!" But I guess Friends wouldn't have started to like. Maybe it was like 96, maybe.
Friends was mid-90s, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Friends. 94.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, like, when they said those, like, they said Jennifer Aniston, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, just fucking say the other two names somewhere in the movie. Like, you made it halfway.
Actually. Yeah. Three.
Not halfway, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one, like, I have a little bit of a gripe with this movie. Like, they push the meta too much. And I talk about it in my reviews later on. And we talked about it during our screen episode. Because, like, we mentioned that, yeah, they make a lot of movie references in Scream. But they don't, like, it's not annoying.
Yeah.
This one, it's borderline annoying.
Oh, okay.
For me, anyways. Like, just, like, well, there's the whole Friends thing, which I thought was funny. It was good. It was, like, well-placed. But then, like... The whole film scene, like the film school scene was good as well. Mm-hmm. But there's just like so many references to other movies. It's just like, how many movies are you going to fucking talk about in this movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like they were pushing it out too much in this one.
Mm-hmm. They kind of have to like one up the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe they thought like, oh, like Scream did so well and loved it so much because it's so meta. Like, let's just fucking up the meta, you know?
Yeah.
All right. The one thing that we have to talk about, which we kind of already did. Oh my God. the one scene, I think Dewey is, I think it's after Sid gets attacked. Yeah, it is. It's whatever. See, she gets locked into like the dorm and Derek is outside. Mm-hmm. And after it all happens, Dewey shows up and he does this run. And I was laughing so fucking hard because it is so bad. And you made a great reference. So I was like, how do I describe this without getting canceled? Because he looks like he looks, I don't know, handicaps and like
one way to do it.
Yeah.
I said he looks like Flynn from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Or Walt Jr.
Yeah. I don't know what the choice was that David Arquette made. I don't know if he was told to do that.
But like, how does Wes Craven allow that to happen?
Yeah.
Because like, it is so bad, man. So bad.
And like, okay, he got shot in the first movie. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But this is like 2 years later. How is he still, it's not just his leg, his like arm is like, it's like he's fuck, what movie is it? Was it Ace Ventura?
Yeah.
Pet Detective. Whenever, was it Pet Detective when he gets hit with a sleep dart? Yeah. The paralyzed dart and one half of his body's like paralyzed and he's like running.
Yes. Yeah.
And then like the rest of the movies, like he's fine for the most part.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if I can find the scene really quick.
Oh, okay.
Cause like it has to be shown. I feel like I'm not gonna be able to find it quick enough, so it's just gonna be annoying. God damn it. Let's see. YouTube's gotta have it, right? Is it this? Yeah, I found it. All right. Okay, here we go. Oh, I'm gonna share my screen. Get over here, fucker. All right. If you haven't seen the movie, here's the scene that we're talking about. Just like his second arm is just like kind of flopping around.
Yeah. It's like, what? Oh, fuck.
It's terrible.
So after this scene is whenever Sydney breaks up with Derek.
Yeah.
And another thing I didn't like with this movie is Sydney gets appointed to bodyguards.
Yeah.
And these are the worst fucking bodyguards I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, they weren't good.
They literally have guns. And I know I'm getting far ahead, but how do you get killed by one person with a knife? Whenever you have two guns, you're like armed, like special detectives.
They're the two best detectives on the force, according to them.
To protect Sydney, and you both die.
Very easily.
Yes.
Well, actually, the one guy, he gets fucked up.
He gets really fucked. But then the other guy's like in front of the car, pulls out his gun. He's just like,
stands there.
Hey, stop. Dude, you just saw this guy slice your buddy's throat. You're not going to fucking just stop the car, put your hands up. No, you shoot him.
His death is probably my favorite death in the movie, though.
Gets that driver's seat
fucking metal pole stuck through his head.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh man, that is brutal.
Yeah.
I love. I can't remember what her name is, but she's Sydney's roommate there. Her friend.
Haley.
Yeah. Yeah, or Haley. Yeah. She's like, oh, it's right through his eye.
Yeah. Yeah. Haley's a roommate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So where does the other stab scene come from? Is someone watching the movie? Is that how it comes up?
Because we see an interview with Tori Spelling.
Oh yeah, that's it.
And I think it shows a clip from the movie.
Yeah. Oh my God, man. I fucking died. That is the best casting for Billy Loomis. Like Luke Wilson fucking went for it. no one better could have done that. Just his hair did not look like Luke Wilson.
No.
But just the way he was talking, oh my God.
It was incredible.
Then you don't think it's still me, do you?
Oh, fuck. And I like how they did, they cast Tori Spelling to play Sydney in the movie, because that's like a callback to the first movie. Because Sydney was like, oh, if they make a movie out of this, they'll probably cast Tori Spelling to play me.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
I want to watch old school.
Luke Wilson. Oh, fuck.
Oh, man. It's fucking funny. Also, like, another issue, like, I didn't like was, like, the weird-ass play sequence with Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cut that out of the movie. Why? The movie is 2 hours long.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel long, but they definitely could have cut some stuff out of it. And, like, mm-hmm. this, like, 5 minutes of them, like, watching the play, it's like, what the fuck is happening? And why... why is Sydney like the main star, and like she sees like the mask? Like I get why they have that,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. I didn't like it.
It's showing that she's still traumatized by it, even though she's trying to put on like a facade that she's not.
Yeah, which I get that, but.
But at the same, like, I agree with you. You could at least shorten that scene down, or like, it's just, it's a, yeah. There's a lot of weird scenes in this movie that I feel like don't belong.
Yeah.
Like the cafeteria scene that I already mentioned, this one for sure. I don't know. Yeah. I don't, like, I agree with you. Like, you know why they're doing it, but at mm-hmm. the same time, like, does it really necessarily need to be in the movie?
Yeah. And like the scene with Randy and Dewey, like trying to figure out who the killer is, like, why not have Sydney in that conversation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're attacking her, like,
mm-hmm.
help her, or have her help figure out who it is.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we kind of already briefly mentioned it, but I thought Randy got done dirty here. I think Randy should have survived at least like one more movie, I think, but he didn't make it. So him and Gail and Dewey are kind of searching for the killer. They're like waiting, and then he calls the phone, and Gail and Dewey are like running around trying to find out who's calling, because like he can see them. So Randy has to stay on the phone with him, and that might have been the wrong decision to have him talking, because he talks too much. And I think he would have survived if he didn't mention Billy Loomis.
Yeah.
And Debbie did kind of mention that at the end of the movie, like, mm-hmm. Once he mentioned my son and saying all these nasty things about him, like, I got knife happy or something like that.
Yeah, because he's going for the fucking jugular with the Billy comments. Like,
yeah,
he's a fucking loser, piece of shit, psychopath, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she just starts fucking beating it to him with the knife blade.
Yeah. At first I thought that was Mickey,
mm.
because like they're struggling a bit. Like, I think, maybe that makes sense then. If like he was putting up a fight against her, maybe it would have been more like unmatched for her. But yeah, Randy gets killed right in the middle of the fucking park where there's people throwing football and,
yeah.
dancing with the boom box.
that's another part that, like, why is this in this movie? Like, he's getting stabbed the fuck.
She literally pushes him through the window. His ass goes through it.
Yeah.
And like breaks it.
Yeah.
And these fucking dancers from like Who You Got Served fucking swing by.
I'm rolling through with the boom box.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, there was comedy in the first one, but I feel like they tried to up the comedy in this one too.
Yeah.
Like with random ass shit like that, with that one, the cafeteria scene again, that I'm going to mention.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah. But yeah, they don't identify him. And then they're like walking up and they're like, oh, like, where's Randy? And then they see the blood like coming out. They left the mask behind for some reason. I don't know if it was just like Debbie, like, oh shit, like I killed someone, like what the fuck, you know?
Well, I think it was like she changed out of the costume quick so that she could leave and like nobody would say like, oh fuck, there's Ghostface walking through campus. Yeah, yeah,
for sure. But I thought maybe they just like took off the whole thing and like put up in a ball and just like kind of like walked away or something.
Left it there, yeah.
But yeah.
Those costumes aren't hard to get. They're at every Spirit Halloween that you go into.
Well, especially when Stab just premiered, right?
Exactly.
But yeah, I think Randy should have continued on. Do you agree or no?
Yeah. I don't, well, I agree, but I also like, I don't know. I don't want to say I disagree, but like, I don't know. I like his character, but I don't know. Does he need to be in anymore?
Yeah.
Like, does he have a role in the third movie?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because in this one, like, he's Sydney's friend. They go off to college together. They're there to, like, support each other and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But then in the third one, like, she's a grown adult. She's moved on. She lives out in buttfuck nowhere with, like, security systems all over her house and shit like that. Like, she's grown up at this point, right?
Yeah.
Like, does she need Randy anymore?
Yeah. What was her reaction to her finding out Randy was dead?
She cried.
Did she? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember, yeah.
When she said, she mentioned how she's going to have to call his parents. And
oh,
then
yeah.
Dewey says that he already took care of it.
Right, yeah. I just had a question for you.
Okay.
What do you think, if Randy like survived, like all the movies, what do you think he would have done as an adult, like a profession?
A movie director.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say writer.
Yeah, I could see. Yeah. Something to do like behind the scenes of movies. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Part of the crew.
Yeah. Another issue I kind of had with the movie is, why is Cotton still in the movie after the first scene?
Yeah. Because like, he wants to get on with fucking what's her face.
Yeah, but you're out of jail. Who cares if Sydney fucking hates you? Like, you have no relationship with her.
He doesn't want that. He wants the $10,000 that he's guaranteed if he does this. Barbara Walters, is that who it was? I can't remember. If he does this TV interview with Sydney. They each get $10,000. He wants that.
I guess, but Sydney doesn't give a fuck.
No, but he does. That's why he has to try and convince her.
I guess. I don't know. I just... Because, like, in the library scene, like, Sydney's, like, at the computer, and she's, like, type in some, like, message her, and, like, oh, you're going to die. And then, like, the two cops are, like, going around trying to find out who it was. And then fucking Cotton, like, pops out. Out of nowhere is like, oh, Sid, can we talk for a minute? And then shows up at the end of the movie too. It's like, why is he here? Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe he had a contract with Wes Craven, and he needed so much screen time.
Maybe they just kept him in to use him for the third movie at the beginning.
Maybe. Ah, I forgot about that scene.
I did think Debbie was very fucking annoying, but I guess that was just like part of her
character
and job.
Yeah.
She
did a good job at covering up that she was the killer.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I remember, like, I don't remember when I first watched this, but like, there was like a long period of time where like, I didn't watch any of the Scream sequels. I would watch Scream like religiously, but then I didn't watch any of the sequels for like a long time.
Yeah.
And I was watching this. It's like, fuck, I don't remember who the killer is. And then like the twist at the end, it got me on like my first watch, like recently kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think she did a good job at covering it up.
Yeah, I think so too. What'd you think of the sequence with Gail running away from Ghostface? Like that whole sequence in like the studio and stuff.
I can't talk about it right now.
Why?
I can, but I love it.
Okay.
I love that scene.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes in the movie, probably.
Yeah.
I just think it's super creepy. Like it's a sound studio, right? So like everything's soundproof. Like it's the soundproof walls and all the hallways. Like there's soundproof booths and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So like you can't hear anything in there. Like she can't hear anything. Ghostface can't hear anything. Dewey's in there. He can't hear anything.
Yeah.
It's just super creepy. And like the way that the hallway is set up, like you can see around some of the corners from like where she's standing. And like, she's kind of trying to like get away from Ghostface while like creeping around all these different corners that are all over this hallway.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really enjoyed that scene.
Yeah. Who do you think was the Ghostface in this scene? Do you think it's possible it's both of them?
I don't know.
Because they're Dewey and Gale are like in the classroom about to get it on and on the desk. And then like all the TVs start like turning on of all the cameras, like watching them. Mm-hmm. And then like the last camera is like up in the thing, like watching them. They like look up and there's Ghostface there and like runs away.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, was that Debbie videotaping it and then like running away and then maybe like Mickey coming in and trying to kill them?
Yeah, maybe. I think it's Mickey that's attacking them in this scene. Because like he fights with Dewey and it's like, again, like there's a lot of strength involved in this scene that I think Mickey would be the one to do it.
Yeah. I don't know how Dewey fucking survived this.
How does Dewey survive the entire franchise up until Scream 5? Like, this guy gets the shit end of the stick in every movie.
Yeah. He got fucked up and, like, Gale has to sit there, like, watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking brutal.
Yeah. Are you drinking wine?
It's my beer I poured.
Oh, okay.
I already had a glass of wine tonight.
It looked like it was red whenever you first lifted it.
You colorblind like me now?
No, maybe. No. I don't think so.
All right. One last scene, kill scene, that to get to before the end of the final scene, which I fucking hate this scene, is whenever, after the security guards die, and the car gets, like, crashed into the side, and Hallie and Sid are in the back, and Ghostface is knocked out in the front seat. Why the fuck doesn't Sydney just take the goddamn mask off of him or kill him? You literally have the upper hand.
Yeah.
And like when she gets through the front, she tries to open the door. She's like, oh, Hallie is jammed. Go through the front. Just fucking break the window.
Yeah.
And she's like over top of him. She's standing beside the car with the window open. He's passed out. Take the fucking mask off. I hate it. I was getting so mad, man.
Yeah. It's a very tension filled scene though.
Yeah. Cause like I get why they did that. Like you have to build the tension and it was a very tension filled scene, like you said, but
No, I agree. Like take the fucking mask off. But that's obviously Mickey, because you see the wound on the forehead later on in the movie.
Yeah.
The whole time, like I knew that Sydney was going to get out, obviously, but the whole time that Hallie was climbing over top of him, I was like, she's going to die right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just seems like it'd be that kind of scene. Like I'm shocked that there wasn't a jump scare in that scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause it would have been a perfect placement for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they kept us hanging.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they're about to leave. And then Sid is like, finally is like, I got to go back and take the mask off. Like, I know who it is. And Hallie's like, don't go back. Like you'll end up dead. Or she makes like a reference to like a movie or kind of like situation wise in horror movies. Right. And then they go back and then Ghostface is gone. And then he ends up grabbing Hallie and then killing her. And then Sid runs away.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I that's that scene pissed me off. All right, and then yeah, so Sid goes into the kind of like studio where like the play is and stuff like that. And then I think she's there by herself, right?
Yes.
And then Ghostface shows up, just like walks up to the stage, takes off his mask. Like it's like nothing like the first one. Like Mickey is just ready to like just say that he's a killer, right?
Well, he even says like, I want to be caught.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Billy and Stu were trying to frame other people in order to not get caught. He said, I'm not like that. Like he wants to get caught because he wants to be famous, right? Like he wants yeah. that fame of being the killer.
Yeah. Cause he wants to blame it on the movies, blame it on Stab and like kind of be the first of like these people who are like killers, but they're released because like seemed crazy because like the movies made him do it. And mm-hmm. he was going to get all these like crazy expensive, like really good, like lawyers on his side and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And then Derek gets like lowered down on like the thing,
stage prop thing,
the yeah. stage prop. And he's like tied up. And like, I don't know how, like, I get why Sid thought it was him because obviously Mickey's planning to remind me like with the first one, right. Saying mm-hmm. like, oh, it's the boyfriend again. Like Derek, we almost got her. Like we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was like, do you really believe him? Like Derek does not seem like the type of guy, but she did get fooled before, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like she probably didn't think that Billy was the type of guy before either. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she's had one hell of a night already.
Yeah.
All these killings are happening again. Like her head is just fucking swirling, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So she's just trying to make sense of everything.
Yeah. And like Mickey's going on, like she's booked on time. And then Mickey's like, oh, don't do that. Like Derek, we almost be completed the night, blah, blah, blah. And Derek's mm-hmm. like, what the fuck? Cause he takes the mask off. Right. And it's like yeah. Mickey, who is like, not like a fake college student or whatever, right? Like pretend to be his friend and Derek's like gonna fucking kill you, and then like Mickey just pulls the gun and then shoots Derek. Mm-hmm. And I was like kind of sad that Derek ended up dying. And even like Sydney was like, fuck, like I'm so sorry. And then I think he says like, oh, I wasn't the only one that did it. Like there's always two killers or something like that. And like the door opens and like Gail walks out and like obviously we know Gail's not the killer.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sydney's like, oh, maybe it's her. And then you see Debbie Salt. And does Sid recognize that it's, yeah, she does, right? Yeah. That it's Billy's mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. And then Gail says something and then Sydney was like, oh, she lost a lot of, or Debbie's or Mrs. Loomis says she lost a lot of weight or something like that. And then Sydney mentions that she got a lot of work done on her face too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I bring up later on as well.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Just like a question that I have.
Yeah. How does it end up playing out? So I know
Mickey grabs or Mrs. Loomis shoots Gail and she falls off the stage.
Yeah.
Mickey grabs Sydney and has the knife up to her throat. Does Cotton come out?
Because Cotton kind of saves the day a little bit. But he comes up randomly. Like, it's like, again, like, what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, no. What's her face? Mrs. Loomis shoots Mickey and then Mickey shoots Gail as he's falling.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And then Mrs. Loomis and Sydney are like fighting with each other.
Yeah. And I love that. I love the scene. Whenever they're fighting and Sydney like knocks her into like the fake rocks.
Yeah.
And then all like the fake rocks fall on her. I was like, wow, fake rock death much? It's like that wouldn't kill her. Like it's just props.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Mickey's or Debbie is going on about like telling like the whole reasoning, right? Like, oh, you killed my son, and then tells like the whole plan, like, oh, I met Mickey on some like website where you can find serial killers, and it's like, oh, he was just a young starting out serial killer, so we had the same like reasoning, like he wanted to be more famous and get more like kills, and I don't know, man, it's kind of dumb.
And I'm on the dark web.
Yeah.
It was Mrs. Loomis that had Sydney by the throat with a knife.
Okay.
And then whenever Cotton comes out, that's when that whole standoff happens.
Right.
Because Cotton's trying to get that 10 minutes with, is it Barbara Walters? I think so. He's trying to get the 10-minute interview with Sydney. Mm-hmm. And he's like, just do it. Like, just do it, blah, blah, blah. And then like, what's her face? Mrs. Loomis is kind of in his ear too, talking about like some other shit. And then finally Sydney says, okay, we'll do it. Yeah. And then he fucking shoots Mrs. Loomis.
Yeah. I did like the different like variation of like this movie from the first, whenever I think like Gail says like, oh, like the make sure the killer's dead or whatever, because they always have one last jump scare.
Yeah.
And then like she looks at like Mrs. Loomis and then like shoots her in the head. But then she like turns around and you see like Mickey like jump up and like shoots Mickey a bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They both do, don't they? Like they fucking unload a full clip each into him.
Yeah, they both do. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much how the movie ends.
Yeah, we find out Dewey didn't die.
Yeah. Somehow.
Yeah. And then they do the interview, like Cotton and Sydney do the interview at the end.
Mm-hmm. And then they move to Hollywood off their $10,000.
Yeah.
But, anything else that we missed or you wanted to mention?
I don't think so.
Yep. All right. Well, that's the way the blood splatters.
Yay. All right. I know you're not a huge fan of this movie.
What makes you think that?
Well, I saw your Letterboxd score.
Everyone did.
And I think we've talked about it before, like a while back.
Yeah. I have my rankings of the Scream. Actually, I'm not going to say that because people may go look and then it may ruin the next two episodes.
That's right. We'll save it for the end.
Yeah.
In the meantime, though,
yeah,
give us your reviews.
Okay. I didn't really do reviews because I knew that we had talked very thoroughly about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I may mention a couple more things, but story that gave me 5 out of 10. Yeah. I didn't like the motives and stuff for why they killed some characters. You did clear it up, like with them killing like the same named people. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I didn't pick up on that. And I still don't even really like get that reasoning. The whole, like Mrs. Loomis, like we talked about, like how long was she gone from Billy? Like, I get that her son died, but like, why do you even care if you fucking ran away? I did like most of the characters in this movie. Hallie was kind of like, meh, like bland, wasn't that mm-hmm. likable. The two like sorority sisters, like I felt like they just cast those people as like, oh, let's throw these kind of like people who like people know these people, right? So we mm-hmm. gotta care about them, but like they literally didn't do really anything.
They're just annoying.
Even like Cece, I felt like they just threw Sarah Michelle Gellar in there to have like her like die and like have her as kind of like, ooh, people like will see this movie because she's in it, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really like Derek in this movie. Mickey played a really good like undercover college student, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
The writing is good. Like Williamson is a good writer, and like you mentioned, there's a bit too much like meta stuff in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so 5 out of 10. And quality gave a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
I still think this is a good movie, just not as good as the first. The writing is pretty good. honestly, I don't think the acting is very good. Like, I think David Arquette is horrendous in this movie.
Yeah, he definitely took a nosedive in this one compared to the first one.
Like, Courtney Cox is good. Obviously, Neve Campbell's good. I thought that the rest of the cast, like the newbies, did a good job, except for like the ones I mentioned that don't really have any parts. Like Sir Michelle Gellar, like, I don't know, she didn't really do much.
Yeah.
The score I didn't like as much as the first one. I do like how they brought back that the like theme song for the Scream franchise. And I'm kind of biased because it's a theme song for Peaky Blinders too. So
yeah,
I like the way they like play that song like sporadically throughout scenes. Like they pick a really good scene to play that song, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 5 out of 10 and 6 out of 10.
All right. Okay. My story, I gave it an 8 out of 10. I said this movie lost a little bit of charm that the first one had, mainly just because his cast feels more forced than in the first one. The friendships in the first one felt more genuine, and then this one they felt more like acted out. I liked the idea of Sydney and Randy trying to move on while living with the memories of what happened. I liked that Sydney like had a boyfriend in this one. Like, she's still moving on, kind of thing. Like, she's able to trust like having another boyfriend again. I liked the twist at the end with it being Mrs. Loomis. I feel like they, I already said this earlier on, but I feel like they really tried to force feed the meta on this one. I found it like borderline annoying. But overall, I really liked it. The quality, I also gave it an 8 out of 10. I said the acting was good, but not as good. The score was good, but not as good. And the kills were more abundant and held onto the creativity that was in the first one, but some of them still weren't as good. The setting has like a strong I Know What You Did Last Summer feel to it, like with the college campus and everything like that. So I enjoy that. Like, I like horror movies that take place on college campuses. I don't know. They sort of have like a feel to them. The effects and the gore were great in this one, and they remained practical, so that makes it even better. I loved the parody style of this one, making fun of sequels, and it was hilarious watching Luke Wilson and Tori Spelling play Billy and Sydney. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this movie. Not as much as the first one, but it is good. So 8 out of 10 for both for me.
I mean, like, not to give too much away for like the rest of the movies, but like, I didn't give it the best joke score, but I don't think in the Scream franchise there's like a bad movie. They're all good. It's just like we dislike one more than the other, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Oh, man. I sit too much at work now. I have to fucking stretch. All right, you guys know our scores. Head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they've scored it. The critics' consensus: as with the first film, Scream 2 is a gleeful takedown of scary movie conventions that manages to poke fun at terrible horror sequels without falling victim to the same fate. What do you think the critics scored it?
I'm gonna say 72.
81.
Oof, wow.
On 80 reviews and an average score of 6.8 out of 10. 81% is higher than Scream.
Wow, really?
I'm pretty sure Scream was 79, wasn't it?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. The average score of this one is lower, but the percentage is higher.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. The audience score, 57%.
So it was originally going to get 66% for the critic score.
You'd have been closer to the audience score. So that was on 250,000 ratings and an average score of 3.4 out of 5 or a 6.8 out of 10.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand Rotten Tomatoes at all.
No.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. No. The audience score is a 57. The critic score is an 81. But meanwhile, they both have the exact same average score. I don't fucking know, man. I know that like the threshold for the percentages is different between the critics and the audience, but like, keep your shit consistent.
Yeah.
What's Letterboxd?
So Letterboxd is pretty much the same as the one Rotten Tomato score for the average or whatever. 3.3 out of 5.
Okay.
I give it a 3 out of 5. You gave it a 4 out of 5, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Too many people watch this movie, so Scream of Cinema, 4 out of 5. Josh gave it a 5 out of 5. Sloshing Captain, 4 out of 5. Nathan from I Hope You Suffer, 2.5.
Damn.
Anyone else? Quickly. Jensen, the 3.
Okay.
Nightmare Pod, 4.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that we didn't talk about, actually, which we did on the first one, the movie poster.
Mm.
In the background, is that definitely one of them is Neve Campbell, right? Like the white face in the background. And is the other one Gail Weathers?
I don't fucking know. Who is that?
It doesn't look like Gail, but the one is definitely Neve, right?
Yeah.
But the brown eyed girl, I don't know who that is.
So we're talking this one here, right?
Yeah. Is that Tori Spelling?
Oh, maybe. Who is that?
Or is that Heather Graham?
No. Who is that?
Let me see if I can find it.
I don't know.
Oh, it's Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Is it?
Yeah, that's what it says on, at least on Amazon.
See, I don't...
Oh, wait, hold on.
I don't see that being her either.
Oh, it's Jada.
What?
Apparently.
I don't know if I buy that.
I know, that's what Reddit says.
I don't know if I buy that at all. No, I don't buy that at all. No way that's Jada. Well, actually, the eyebrows kind of match up.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Okay. So again, like they're using a character that's not in the movie for any long period of time as their marketing.
But it's weird because she's in like the people in the front.
Yeah. Well, so is Sydney.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Maybe just because she's like one of the first kills. But again, doesn't that cover, isn't that cover like very similar to, you said something, was it Halloween Resurrection?
Josh did. Well, they all are, man. Like, look at Scream 3 is essentially the fucking same as Scream and Halloween H2O.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. Anywho.
All right. Let's continue.
So it's Neve and Jada
on the
cover.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why it took us so long to figure it
out. Because it doesn't look like her, I don't think. Until you start like comparing them. All right, you ready for the scare section?
Yeah.
What did you give for a scare rating?
I give it a 3 out of 10.
Okay.
It felt more suspenseful and like more brutal than the first one. At least the kills. Scary scene. I went with the scene with Sarah Michelle Gellar. I felt like it was kind of a recreation of the Drew Barrymore scene, sort of, from the first movie. And even like her friend shows up and then like leaves. And like the way she dies was fucking brutal too. So
yeah.
And then would I survive? Yeah, I would just be the random guy in the back of the fucking film theory class, you know?
You wouldn't get in the conversation?
Yeah, I would be like, The Hills Have Eyes 2 is better than the first one.
I spit on your grave too.
Yeah.
All right.
How about you?
My scare rating, I gave it a 4 out of 10. I said, good suspense, more brutal kills, and more kills, period. I love the different locations of the kills in this one too, as it allowed for creativity throughout the whole movie. Mm-hmm. My scariest scene, this is why I didn't want to mention it earlier, but the whole scene where Ghostface is chasing Gale through the halls, like of that soundproof, the theater room or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned like Ghostface is attacking Dewey and Gale just has to sit there and watch and like not be able to do anything. And like, it's sad in a sense, right? Like, and it's horrifying, like for her.
Yeah.
Cause like, imagine like she obviously has feelings for this guy. I don't know if she loves him, but like she has feelings for him and like just watching him die essentially, like is what her thoughts are.
Yeah.
Would I survive? I said, I think this one would be easier to survive than the first one because it's not so closed quarters. Like you have a whole college campus. And having survived this attack once, I'm getting the fuck out of there if it starts happening again.
Well, I was about to ask you, do they mention where they're in college? Because they're not in Woodsboro.
No. I'm sure they name the college. I just don't know where it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. All right. You ready?
Yes, sir.
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face and the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes. I spent 8 years trying to reach him and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
For Loomis's villain evaluation...
It's not Billy's dad.
No, it's not Billy's dad. That's one thing that we didn't talk about.
I know. I was thinking that whenever they like during this watch, they said Mrs. Loomis. I was like, Dr. Loomis.
Yeah.
It's like we never mentioned that.
No, we didn't. So, yeah, if you're a first time listener and this is your first episode that you're listening to, during this, we're going to take our scores for brutality, creativity, agility, intelligence, drive, /motive, and charisma, and average out our scores and then see who would come out victorious between this set of Ghostface and the previous set from Scream.
Yep.
I got Josh's scores, considering he's not going to be recording with us. But I think we have to have 3 to keep it.
We do, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So do you want me to go first and then you can say Josh's?
Sure.
Okay. So for brutality, I gave a 22 out of 30. Okay. This one felt more like the kills felt more brutal. The Sarah Michelle Gellar kill was very brutal. Also, watching Dewey essentially die, like you just feel Gale like, they kind of did reconnect a few minutes before and she has to watch Dewey pretty much die, or so she thinks, get brutally stabbed by Ghostface. So 22 out of 30. Creativity, I gave a 23 out of 30. I know I kind of like shit on the whole like motive reasoning, but like Billy's mom like did a really good job planning all this out. Like 2 years later, she went and did the research to get Mickey and to plan to get him. How did he get into college? Like, is he taking classes? I just thought of that.
Yeah, I never really thought of that either. Maybe he's just hanging out in the classrooms.
I guess so. Well, he's in. Okay, we'll just pass that because that just is insanely dumb. I didn't think of it, but anyway. The way that she planned everything out is kind of like the same with the first one. Like Billy planned everything and she planned this to get revenge on everyone else.
Yeah.
Intelligence, I gave a 20 out of 30. It's kind of just like piggybacking off of what I just said. It does bring it in a little bit because Mickey doesn't seem like the most smart guy, even though I guess he is kind of smart because he got into college. I don't know. Yeah. So intelligence 20 out of 30.
Right.
Agility, I gave a 14 out of 30. This ghost face definitely did seem more along the lines of like a stew kind of figure. Like when he's chasing Sarah Michelle Gellar in the house, like he is like falling everywhere, getting hit with bikes. Like he just can't keep up with her, but then eventually it's a dead end. So he gets her. And then like when he's trying to get like Gail, like still kind of falling over the place and stuff like that. And the scene with Sydney too at the start, like she's beating the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
Like he can't get her at all. Like, come on, man. Motive, I gave a 12 out of 30. Just like with the last one, it gets brought in a lot because Mickey's motive, I don't fully get. Like, you met this lady on the internet and she wants to kill the girl that killed her son, and you want to get famous, you want to blame the movies and get caught. Like, doesn't seem like a smart move at all, man. So,
yeah,
12 out of 30. And for charisma, I gave a 23, but I'm going to change it to a 26.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like both of the killers in this are very charismatic. Even whenever Mickey is like not his serial killer personality, like he is like fully engaged in conversation every time he gets Stu to sing, he starts clapping. And then when he reveals himself, he like goes full like Stu mode, right? He's just going fucking nuts. And the whole movie, Debbie is like all like off the rails too, right? Talking to Gail. So yeah, 26 out of 30.
All right. I'll do Josh's scores and then I'll do my own.
Yeah.
So for brutality, Josh gave them a 30. So 30 out of 30. For creativity, he gave a 19 out of 30. For dexterity, he gave a 12. Intelligence, he gave a 17. Drive / motive, he gave a 28. And charisma, he gave a 20.
Okay.
We have very different scores.
Shit.
My brutality, I gave a 26.
Okay.
I said I gave this the same score as Billy and Stu because of the fact that they kill so many, like they kill so many people in this movie. They aren't necessarily more brutal kills, but it's like the quantity factor in this. We also don't have them like framing each other with stab wounds and other injuries and shit like that, but I mean, like just the sheer amount of violence that's in this one, there's a lot of it.
We didn't really talk about it, but Debbie's plan was to frame Sydney, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, to say that Sydney shot Cotton, I think. Cotton or Gail, I forget which one. But yeah.
All right. My creativity gave it 16. And I mentioned this earlier, like very briefly, but like, I don't know, did Mrs. Loomis lose the weight and get plastic surgery in order to do all of this? Or is this something that she did like while she was kind of off doing her own thing whenever she left her husband? Because if she, like, I gave my creativity a 16, but if she lost all this weight and got the plastic surgery and all that shit done in order to do this, then like her creativity's got to go through the fucking roof.
Yeah.
Because like, talk about planning, man. Like, Jesus Christ, you're changing your entire like physical features in order to get away with this.
Yeah. Because at the end, because Sydney doesn't see Debbie through the whole movie, right? I don't think.
No.
But then Sydney recognizes her, right?
Yeah.
So it's like your plastic surgery didn't work too well.
Yeah.
Because I doubt Gale knows who the mom is. Maybe she does. I don't know.
They're all from Woodsboro, though. You would think, like, someone would maybe recognize her.
Yeah.
Like, Dewey was a cop.
And Gale was a reporter.
Reporter, yeah.
She would have reported on the murder of Maureen Prescott and, like, yeah, the whole thing, right?
Yeah. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. So I said, as of right now, though, the planning wasn't elaborate like the first one. She became a journalist to get in the mix of things, which is a good enough storyline, but it doesn't really paint the picture as well as Billy's plan did. But then you factor in the whole thing with Mickey going to college and everything like that. Like, the planning is there, but I feel like they didn't like plan the killing out and like the way that they did the kills and like shit like that. I feel like Billy and Stu did a better job at that.
Yeah.
Dexterity or agility, I gave you 16. I said, although they're still clumsy, neither of them were near as clumsy as Stu was. So I had to give it slightly higher. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Intelligence, I gave a 17.
Okay.
I said Mrs. Loomis was just out for blood in revenge for Billy's death. Did I put this in the wrong spot? No. Did I put this in the wrong spot? No, I don't know. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense. Anyways, she played the journalist part well enough, but at the same time, someone should have figured out who she was, like especially Sydney. This woman was putting herself in the public eye way too much to not be suspicious. Like, I'm like meaning like you would think someone would recognize who she was.
Yeah.
And I said Mickey was smart when it came to movie knowledge, but got blinded by bloodlust and made a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. Drive motive, I gave a 20. I said Mrs. Loomis's motives were rock solid. Her son got murdered, so she's out for blood, which is understandable even if your son is psychotic. But I said Mickey had zero motive. He's just like a psycho looking for fame.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like he has no reason necessarily to be tied in with these events.
Yeah.
And charisma, I gave a 14. I said okay. Neither character was very likable. The Debbie Salt character was annoying as fuck. And I can't believe Gail didn't string her up by a telephone pole. And I said, Mickey was a pretentious prick who's like thought he knew it all. Like every conversation that he had, I feel like he was being very condescending with people. And like he had friends, obviously, but none of them seemed like they were overly close to him.
Yeah.
Like when you think about Billy and Stu, they had like that core group of friends and like everybody really seemed to be close with everyone else.
Yeah.
And like Billy and Stu were in a sense like the core of that group, right? Like people gravitated towards them.
Yeah.
So yeah, 14 for charisma. I've already added up all the scores.
Cute.
So, for brutality, Scream 2 wins 26-23.
Damn, close.
Yeah. For creativity, Scream wins 25-19.3. For dexterity / agility, Scream somehow wins 16.7-14.
Close.
Yeah. Intelligence, Scream wins 23-17.3. For drive or motive, Scream 2 wins 20-16. And for charisma, Scream wins 27.7-20.
Damn.
So it's a 4-2 split with Scream winning this face off.
Yeah. That was what I thought might happen.
Yeah. Some of these were a lot closer than I thought they were going to be, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, significantly.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I thought it was going to be Scream as well. I think I like Billy and Stu as the killers a lot more.
Yeah.
So, I'm happy that this is the result that we got.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. All right. Well, anything else?
I don't think so, no.
I don't think so either. All right, I'm getting sleepy.
Yeah.
All right, next week we're going to be talking about Scream 3, obviously, and we're going to be starting a fresh round of our villain face-off. Scream 3 will be going up against Scream 4, and just like what was supposed to happen with Josh with Scream and Scream 2, we have a guest coming on for both of these episodes. A new guest, though, not Josh again, yes. But it's going to be our good friend Chuck from Chuck and Ruff Go to the Movies. He is another Scream fan, just like we are. He has an amazing podcast with his brother. They talk about any movie under the sun. It doesn't have to be a horror movie. It doesn't have to be an action movie or comedy or anything like that. Just movies that they thoroughly enjoy and want to talk about. Yeah. So if you haven't checked them out, please go and do that and then come back and listen to our Scream 3 episode, which we'll be releasing next week.
Yes, sir.
As for us, if you want to catch us on social media, you can find us at A Podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. If you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our TeePublic account where we have our merch. There's also a link to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. There's also links to each of our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us. Thank you for joining us on part one and part two of our Scream in September.
Yes. I had a great time.
Me too.
This went 2 hours. I couldn't imagine what it would have been like with Josh on this with us. Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, the last one was 2 hours and 45 minutes, so.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a long one. Yeah, it was. All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
See you later.